is Meet Me at the Diner, and it's a very special Meet Me at the Diner today. Guess who dropped on by today? The sheriff. That's right. Sheriff Tony Davis is sitting here with me. He said, hey, Ann, how about I come on the air and just remind people some of the things they need to do? We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in Greenwood County from the sheriff's perspective here today. So how are you doing, Sheriff Tony Davis?
And we're doing very well. We've been very busy for the last couple of weeks, but things are going well.
Is this unusual that this time of the year you would be busy?
No, it seems that every year things pick up around Christmas. A lot of thefts began to occur. People's residences are broken into. We've had several armed robberies lately that our guys are working. Things pick up right around the 1st of December, shortly after Thanksgiving, and hopefully they'll slow down soon. But our guys are working, trying to put a stop to it the best we can.
Now, what can you tell us about the armed robberies that have been going around? We've had, what, two or three?
We've had three recently. We just made an arrest on one where the Salvation Army kettle was stolen. We found some discrepancies in what the victim, alleged victim, stated. We made an arrest on that, but we know that three for sure of our armed robberies have been legitimate.
Wow. So, are there any breaks in the cases? You said you made an arrest on that one, but what about this others that are in progress?
The other three, we feel that we have not positively identified. It appears that at least it could very well be three different individuals, or it could be two individuals that has committed all three of those. There's some similarities in two of the robberies, and in one robbery it was no similarity at all.
You know, you see all these, the bloopers and this type of thing on TV, and we see the cases where a clerk or something gets heroic. What should somebody do in that situation, Tony?
You know, don't take control of the city. Don't take it into your own hands. These folks could be very desperate. They're coming in with a weapon. They're pointing a handgun at the clerk and demanding money. I think someone's life is much more important and valued much more than the money that the individual has taken.
So just cooperate.
Notice possibly everything you can about the individual, but however, when someone's pointing a weapon at you, the barrel of that weapon probably looks the size of a cannon, and that's probably what the clerks are focusing on. Don't do anything. Don't be heroic. Your life is more important. Give us a call as quickly as you can. What I'd like to say to these convenience stores is make sure your video system is working. We're finding some of the convenience stores that the primary camera is not working, and that's not helping us at all trying to identify someone when, someone walks in with a weapon, points it, demands money, they're in and out in less than a minute, and, we're having to work with bare-bones information, in a sense.
Sure. But that certainly is something that is very scary, and particularly you were telling me earlier that they're looking for times when there's not a lot of people around, so they're actually, these people are, what should we say, staking out a place?
Could very well be. Many of your clerks in convenience stores are ladies. And I guess the robber feels that they have a better chance of robbing a young lady than they do a male. However, not all of them have been females. But again, when you come in with a gun, the individual coming in with a gun certainly has the advantage.
So just be aware of what's going on. If you could get a license plate or something, if somebody's driving off, all that stuff would be very helpful.
That would be wonderful. The description of the vehicle, license plate would be wonderful. Direction of travel would be good. Certainly, we feel that these individuals who are committing these robberies have a vehicle close by. We have, on all three robberies, we have called our dog team out. The dog has picked up scent, and a short distance away, the scent stops. So we feel sure that there's at least a vehicle close by, and it may very well be another person inside the vehicle waiting for a quick getaway.
Sure. Now, that brings us to another question, though, that we were just talking about. You know, on TV, when they make an arrest, it just seems like boom, bam, and then they're, then we're going for bail or no bond or all this type of stuff, and the case gets solved, and, in an hour, it's all wrapped up. Tony, what is the problem with your staff there? Why can they not wrap these up in an hour?
Because we're real life. And, you know, we know that television is entertainment, and I tell you, what's the CSI?
Absolutely.
I wish we could do and had all the equipment that CSI has and could solve that case within an hour. But, you know, once you do make an arrest, then you're bombarded with paperwork that you have to complete. You have to get your case ready for send it to the prosecutors, and we have to have it there within a certain time frame, so many days. And, you know, we've got to be right on what we're doing.
So it takes a while, and there is a lot. Actually, there is a lot of red tape, isn't there?
A lot of red tape, yes.
Now, let me just ask you something. How do you feel about the immigration law that was passed here in the state?
I have received a copy of the immigration law. I have read it 3 times. I have yet to understand it. When we had our conference at the Sheriff's Association, we had an attorney from the Criminal Justice Academy come over with a PowerPoint. We spent over an hour going over it, and every time we asked her a question about this law, she said she did not know. Well, if the if the attorneys don't know, and they're trying to explain the law to us, then how are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to enforce it? If the law is enforceable, naturally we're going to have to do it. The governor's going to pass it, but I'm going to have a clear understanding before I'm going to start enforcing this law.
Sure. I know that it's very similar to Arizona's, and that's going before, I believe, the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Yes, so that we will hopefully have some clarity out of that.
We do need some clarity on this law. It's rather lengthy, and some of the things it's telling us to do, like when you detain someone, you got to transport them to a federal facility. Well, where are these federal facilities? And what if this federal facility says, we're not going to hold this person. Now what are we going to do with him? So, you know, there's a lot of unanswered questions on this immigration law, and, again, I'll enforce it whenever we get a clear understanding as to what's going on.
Right. And, of course, then they've got to go for the constitutionality of the law, too, right?
Right. Yeah. That's for the courts to decide.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to go over that because I know immigration is always a hot topic of conversation, and it will be an issue in this upcoming election.
It will be.
Absolutely. So now, what are the type of things that are being stolen? What are you seeing? Is there a hot Christmas list of stolen items this year?
I think there's a wish list. excuse me. Flat-screen televisions is one of the main things we're seeing stolen. People's houses being gone into, flat-screen televisions being taken, Xboxes, jewelry, laptops, and weapons, of course, and medication.
Medication?
Prescription pills.
Prescription pills.
One of the biggest problems we have on the streets today.
Gosh. You know, that's just hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, medication is in such short supply for so many people, and yet these things are being stolen.
Every day they're being stolen. You know, and when I first started in 1975, marijuana was the big issue on the streets. Few pills, not many. A little bit of methamphetamine, not a whole lot, but mostly marijuana. And then in the 80s came the cocaine. Well, marijuana didn't go away. And then in the late 80s came crack. Well, cocaine and marijuana didn't go away. And then in the later 90s came the meth in a huge wave. Crack, cocaine, and marijuana didn't go away. And now we've got prescription pills again. Meth, crack, cocaine, and marijuana didn't go away. So we've got all these issues we're dealing with. And then you throw the alcohol in, and it just compounds.
How's your department dealing with all this? I mean, you know, you've got only so many men and so many women working there. How are they working with all this?
Well, one thing that's been a big help is when I took office, Chief Brooks, with the Chief of Greenwood City Police, he and I got together and discussed a lot of issues, and one of the issues we discussed was the our narcotic units, and we combined our narcotic units to give us more manpower on the streets to work countywide in Greenwood.
So that's made a big difference, hasn't it?
That's made a big difference, especially it helps when we're doing search warrants and we don't have to call the uniform patrol off the street or the SWAT team. We have enough manpower there to conduct a search warrant.
But they has to be, with the increased load, this has to be putting a little bit of stress on your people to be able to cover it all.
It does. Not only are they working the drug issue on the street, they also work the gambling. They work.
Oh, come on. We don't have gambling going on.
Yeah, we have a little bit. They work the prostitution. You know, any type of vice activity, they work. You may have saw recently where we just arrested an individual from one of the convenience stores for the bath salts and the K2, the synthetic marijuana. It was our narcotics folks that that investigated that and made the arrest.
How about the bath salts? What has been, because I didn't even realize that was something you could buy over the counter. You know, when I first started hearing about bath salts, I'm thinking of something you throw in your bath water there.
Well, and that's what a lot of people think, and that's what we want parents to know, is that this stuff is not something that you put into your bathtub or your bath water. This stuff is a substance that very similar in reaction to the way cocaine, PCP, and stuff like that. You know, it's a strong amphetamine is what it is.
But you could buy it over the counter.
You could.
Right?
You could. And I went to county council, and we got an ordinance to ban this stuff. And as the ordinance was in the process of going through its channels, you had to have three readings on it. Before it got to the second reading, the state went ahead and added it to a list of banned substances and made bath salts and K2 synthetic marijuana, made it a Schedule 1 controlled substance, which means it's high potential for abuse and has no known medical use. So we're enforced it under the state laws now.
Now, this is just a curiosity question. If somebody has bought this out of state and has it in their possession, is that against the law?
It's illegal. It's illegal to possess.
Okay, it's illegal to possess it. Okay, and what's the penalty, fine?
5 years, $5,000 for possession with intent, and I think it's, I don't recall the penalty for the Schedule 1 plain out possession, but I think it's maybe up to $1,000 or $2,000 fine on that one, or 60 days and 90 days. It's not as stiff a penalty as the possession with intent is, but it is against the law to possess it.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, you know, what other things would you like? You know, we worry about Christmas time because everybody is buying stuff and putting it in their cars, and, you know, you have a tendency to be in a hurry. What do you have to say about people out shopping and being aware.
Be careful. You know, we have had reports, not recently, but in the past, we have had reports of people leaving their pocketbooks in the shopping cart. Turn their back for a moment, pocketbook's gone. We know of situations where windows have been broken out in cars, where they've seen packages in the back. They have, say, see a GPS system, they see a telephone, or they see pocketbooks, or they see medication. Please put everything in the trunk of your car. Lock it up. Know your surroundings. Notice what's going on around you. Be observant, and I think you'll be fine.
So that's the biggest thing, is being aware, not being in your own little world.
That's right. You're sort of out of your element.
That's true, and everybody is out shopping late at night, too, and that's another issue, too, isn't it?
You know, most of the areas have street lights and so forth, and it's pretty well lit, but try to park under a street light or close to one. If you can, shop in pairs. Again, don't put anything of value where it's visible inside of a vehicle. And, you know, just take precautions. Just be aware of your surroundings.
Well, I think one of the biggest things is there's an old adage, desperate people do desperate things.
True.
And this is the time of the year where there's a lot of desperate people trying to do something for Christmas.
Well, you know, the economy is bad. There's a lot of unemployment. Not many jobs out there. And I don't know if it's just that a lot of people want to have money to buy their kids something for Christmas, or is it support a drug habit? You know, possibly it's both, but it seems here, from what we're noticing, it seems to be supporting drug habits.
Are we ever going to get a handle on the drugs?
You know, if we could ever stop it at the border, once it comes across the border, it goes in how many different directions? You know, Atlanta is supposedly a hub for the drug cartels. Getting it to Atlanta, from Atlanta coming all over the East Coast. If we could ever stop it at the border, I think we could put a put a halt to a lot of it.
Put a lot of halt to it. And what about with the kids? Are we having much problem with underage drinking?
We often check the clubs, and we often find someone in there that's under the age of 21 that is consuming alcohol. A lot of times they'll have a fictitious ID, or a lot of times they're getting someone else to purchase it for them and bring it to them. But, we have that issue, too.
Have that issue, too. In other words, you're staying very busy. Now, I know that your people probably are working more hours than they really should have to cover all this, because you are working with a shorter budget.
We are, and you know, we have also got one officer that's deployed. I've got three out with injuries, and you know that cuts down on your manpower. I've got another one out where her husband passed away, and she hasn't been able to come back yet. So I've got four that's out, and that cuts your manpower, cuts your shift short, and. You know, you just have to, when I took office, I told the guys, you know, we got to do a whole lot more with a whole lot less, and, you know, that's what we're doing. You know?
And they're doing it.
They're doing it. They're doing the best they can, yes. I'm proud.
You're proud. Well, Tony Davis, it certainly is nice to have you drop by here. Give us a few tips about and an update on what's going on. I know everybody is looking forward to the holidays, but it's also a tough time for so many people out there with the holidays, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I do wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. I will tell you that we will not close for the holidays. We will still be available.
The Sheriff's Department is there. Now, if somebody sees somebody in their community, just we hadn't gone over this point, if somebody sees somebody that really you don't believe belongs in your community or your subdivision, what should you do?
I tell you, we're all about Crime Watch, and Crime Watch is basically neighbors looking out for neighbors. You know your neighborhood, you know what's suspicious and what's not suspicious, you know who lives there for the most part. If you see anything suspicious, pick up the phone, call 911. Try to get the best description that you can. If it's a vehicle, get a color. If you can, get a tag number. If you don't want to call the 911, we have Crime Stoppers number. Just call Crime Stoppers, and you will remain anonymous.
Yes, and so there's a lot of ways to work it. And, you know, wouldn't you rather have somebody pick up the phone and call and find out it's nothing than to find out afterwards if only they'd picked up the phone? And that's a horrible feeling for that person, too.
It is, and believe me, that happens. We certainly don't mind. You know, we work for the people of Greenwood County, and I think that we have to be accountable to them and do the best job that we can for them. And if they pick up the phone and call 911, and let's say there's nothing to it, hey, at least that puts a patrol car in your neighborhood.
That's right. That's right. Well, Tony, Merry Christmas to you, and Happy Holidays, and let's hope the new year gets a little easier.
Let's hope, Ann. And again, I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And be safe.
All right. Thank you so much. Sheriff Tony Davis was here at Sharp Facets right here in studio with us. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, then I'll be back for a minute, and I guess then it'll be time for South Carolina News. So don't you go away. Friday, happy days.